We're looking for people who have been blessed by this free podcast and our free daily marriage prayer emails and who want to help be a blessing to others. Creating and hosting this podcast and sending out our daily emails do incur a financial cost. And we want to invite you to join our faithful patron team to help financially support these resources so that they can remain free for all who need them. Please join our patron team today and become one of the faithful financial supporters who desires to help bless thousands of marriages around the world. Your support will help us pay for the creation, hosting, and promotion of our podcast and daily emails. Thank you, and we hope to see you become a Marriage After God patron. Hey, I'm Aaron.
And I'm Jennifer.
And we're the hosts of the Marriage After God podcast. Our desire is to help you cultivate a marriage that chases boldly after God's will for your life together.
We want to invite you to subscribe to our show wherever you watch or listen.
We are so glad you're here, and we pray that our discussion truly blesses you and your marriage.
Welcome to the Marriage After God podcast.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Marriage After God podcast. I'm here with my wife, Jennifer.
Hello.
You haven't been here in a while.
Yeah, I was going to say, and our newest addition, this is Emerin Daisy Marie.
I like to call her Emerina Ballerina.
Yeah, so I thought we would have her on here just for a quick minute. I don't think she'll make it through the whole episode with all of her little noises. But
you'll get to see her for a little bit.
Yeah, just wanted to say hi, everyone.
Yeah, actually, so I've been doing, if you've been following our podcast, I've been doing interviews for the last several like 8 or 9 weeks now already.
It was a nice transition knowing that I was going to be having her and postpartum and all of that.
So that was actually one of the reasons I started doing the interviews was Jennifer needed some time to herself, time to little baby Emerin, which also, she's had.
We'd also been talking about how interviews would add a different depth layer to the podcast for you guys. And so hopefully you guys have been enjoying that.
I feel like I've been getting some pretty good feedback on the interviews. People have been enjoying them. But I have also got feedback that people miss you.
Oh, so, thank you. That means a lot to me.
So what we're going to be doing actually is I think either once or twice a month, we'll do a podcast together on the Marriage After God podcast. And then I'll continue doing the interviews with new people. And by the way, if you have suggestions of people you'd like me to interview, you should send that to us. You can send it to us on our Instagram or email it to us at support@marriageaftergod.com. And I'll consider those and reach out to those people. But so we're here.
Yeah, we're here. Beginning of the new year. Feels good to be here. And so we thought that as I come on here about once a month, we would give you guys an update on our family, what's going on, things that we're learning, things that we're experiencing.
Marriage topics.
Yeah.
Faith topics.
Do you like that idea?
Yes.
Also, if you're watching on YouTube and the camera seems a little bit shaky, I just realized I was shaking my leg to like entertain her and keep her.
Is it shaking the table?
I don't know. I think it was.
So. I think the camera's fine.
Sorry.
They're probably like, I don't notice. But you can bounce her.
Okay, so we had Emerin September 14th, and why don't we just start there? Does it feel weird to go back that far?
No. Because it's been that long since you've been on here.
It's weird to me because I feel like I just had her. I feel like we were just going into, hey, we're about to have a baby, which was a lot different this time around for me than past experiences. So this is number 6 for us, and all the other ones, I was able to go into labor naturally, and we had shared with you guys, I believe, but I had to have a C-section. And
first one of those out of 6.
Yeah.
So that's pretty good odds. It was 1 out of 6.
It was definitely a unique experience and birth story for her. And I remember knowing that I had to meet the doctor that was going to do it. And I thought once I met him that he was going to give me like a set of dates, a week or two or even 3 out. Like I knew I had to have her early, but I just wasn't thinking, okay, how early? And at this point I was 36 weeks and some change. And I go in there and so this is a Thursday and he goes, well, I really think you should come in Friday or Saturday. How do you feel about that?
It was like right away.
My emotions flooded me like you wouldn't believe. And I was like, my mom's not even here yet because she was going to come watch the kids while we had her. And so they hooked me up for a stress test. And while I'm in there, I'm like calling, texting my mom. I'm like, this is what they're thinking. Is there any way you can come out sooner? And she was like, of course. And so even that, just when things start falling into place in a serious situation, it's like, thank you, Lord. Like I just was so grateful. And so my mom came out the very next day and we had her on Saturday. And it was just a whirlwind of new experience around birth. And for all the mamas out there who have had a C-section, or maybe you're pregnant right now and you have been told that you have to have one. It was a beautiful experience, although different.
Very different.
And
very
different experience. I just remember, and still to this day, feeling so grateful that there was a team of people and there's knowledge and efforts made to help people in situations that need that. And so I was just feeling super grateful. And I prayed and I said, God, even though she's coming early, please let her be healthy. I just didn't know. So she came at right at 37. I turned 37 weeks the day she was born. And when they took her out, which was, it felt like in seconds. Like, I feel like you had barely even gotten in there.
Yeah, I think it took 5 minutes to get the baby out, which I would not trade. I mean, I don't have to go through any of it, but I wouldn't trade the natural thing for that. But I'm glad
by choice.
By choice. But I'm so glad that that is a possibility that they're able to do that. It's pretty crazy.
What a wild thing. That was wild. So cool to see and experience. So the moment she came out, she started crying right away. And I could tell she wasn't chubby or anything. She was actually very small.
She was our smallest,
but
for sure.
She looked so healthy and she was so good. And I was good. And
And she's getting real chunky now.
Yeah. And then as far as, you know, physically postpartum, that was also different just because I had to be careful of my scar and moving was different. And so, I just think of all the moms who have been through C-sections. I have a friend who walked me through hers a few days before. And you guys are brave.
You're brave because you did it now too.
Okay, I guess so. But
it was really cool that you had friends that have gone through them. Yeah. We've had friends that have had several. And so you actually were able to pick their brains and they were able to encourage you and pray for you and say, hey, here's what to expect. Here's what's going to happen. I remember them even like talking to me and saying, okay,
this is what you need to know.
You got to help out and you got to, you know, be there for her. So I thought it was definitely a best case scenario and a scenario that we had no control over. Yeah. So I'm very happy. And look at this baby.
She doesn't care.
She has no idea.
She's here and she's happy. As far as, don't be sad.
We love you.
Don't be sad. We'll probably have to get her out of here shortly so we can finish the episode. But I will say that this time around, I did experience some heightened emotional, mental, physical changes in postpartum. And the reason that I'm sharing it is because, one, I've noticed it makes me feel lighter talking about it. Yeah. And then I would hope that if anyone out there is listening right now, and if you're in that season or if you've experienced that season and you feel heavy because of it, whether it's postpartum anxiety, depression, what they call the blues, I don't know. I want you to know that talking about it really has helped me. And
talking with friends
friends about it and just bringing to light. Like, I called it confession, but really it's bringing to light the things that you're walking through and experiencing, even if there's real no reason. Part of the frustration and hardship that I had in sharing it with the people closest to me was everything went so smooth and perfect. It was like, there should be no reason why I'm feeling, like having a hard time, why I'm struggling in my emotions, why I'm, you know.
But you had you often do have, not every single time, but there's been those hormonal changes that drastically
shifts,
affect you. And,
but
even when in those moments when you feel that way, you may know that you're like, okay, I know this is probably hormones, but it doesn't feel that way.
Yeah.
It feels so much more, real and, hard than just trying to like verbally tell yourself like, well, this is just my hormones. I need to get over it. Cause it doesn't work that way.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a lot of encouraging along the way. And,
without trying to minimize it, I don't feel like looking back now, it wasn't, I wouldn't say it was severe or anything, but it was enough to affect me, the relationships around me. Mm. And I went into a ladies' night telling them how I was feeling, and they prayed for me and they encouraged me, and it felt really good. And I felt lighter ever since then. Yeah. All right, I'm going to go pass her off, and I will be right back. Okay, so I passed off Emerin, and now I feel like I can actually focus. Sometimes I get easily distracted. Something that was on my mind that I also wanted to share about in regards to having her was just my capacity, and also bringing it up because I know that there's people who are listening who are in that stage of maybe it's their first baby, or like us, they're six or somewhere in between, that every time you have a baby, you get stretched. And there's that tension of, I feel like I'm out of control. And I felt that a little bit with just my capacity. It's like you have a lot on your plate on top of trying to recover and figuring out this new person. And it was just a lot. And so maybe you could share a little bit, Erin, on how knowing that, because I've voiced it to you, but I think you can also tell when I feel at my capacity. How have we walked through helping each other?
Yeah, this has been something that I think we've, almost like every child we've had, we go through a season of this is hard, sometimes even feels too hard, can't do this anymore. And having to be reminded that it is hard and that's okay. And we're going to go through seasons that feel more difficult than others. And to be honest, every single time we have a child, in reality, like it is a stretching of our flesh, because it's more of our flesh dying. It's more of us realizing like, oh, we get to have less of ourselves and more of this new thing.
And then on a physical level, like you're not sleeping as much and
you're tired all the time. I've been thinking about we're going to talk about, I mean, because today's January 1st, it's a new year. We're going to talk about some of the things that happened over the year, but I just was thinking I've been tired all year and I'm realizing I've been tired for the last, 12 years having children, but it's having children, whether one or two or six. I mean, we have friends that have eight and nine. It's a stretch. Mm-hmm. It's your flesh saying, it recognizing it gets less of itself, and that doesn't feel good ever. And it hurts experiencing that, especially when it's not a choice we've made, as in I'm not choosing for my flesh to die right now. This is just being forced to die because I have more children than I need to give more of myself to.
As an encouragement, I will say somewhere in between that 2 to 3 month postpartum, and I say postpartum, not just to the woman who had the baby, but like to the whole family.
Yeah.
That in that season, there is a shift of like finding a rhythm, figuring it out, everybody kind of, responding to what's new.
Well, it's a new thing. Yeah.
And you kind of become more familiar with it. And I think that stretch on your capacity becomes more acceptable.
Well, and I was just talking to our mail lady, and she was just saying congratulations on the baby. Nice. And I was talking about how she said, it's got to be so cool that you have kids that are older and can help.
Yes.
And
it is different.
It's so different as we shift into a world where like our kids, like they fight over holding her.
Yeah.
Like, not really fight, they're like, I want older. And that's really cool because we're in a season now we can actually hand the baby off to our children to, and they get to love on her. And so we were just sitting this morning and I was like, it's so weird that, some of our kids like Elliot had no one around him, but me and you. And then now Emerin has
she wakes up to a lot of faces looking at her.
But that's normal to her. That's her life. Yeah. And it's really cool being in that new season where we have children that are participating in our daughter. So I don't know. I'm really excited about it, even though it's been really hard with all of our kids and learning to be parents all over again.
Mm-hmm. going back to the question I asked, what are some ways that we've helped each other in that tension on our capacity, just to encourage husbands and wives listening in ways that they can either be thinking about, how am I going to help my spouse during the season, or maybe they're in the midst of it right now?
Something that I've encouraged, well, for husbands, encouraging your wives over and over and over again, reminding them like, hey, this is good. Mm-hmm. Like children are blessings. I know this, you're tired and this feels hard right now, but we'll get past this and this is a good thing.
So words of encouragement.
Yeah. Words of encouragement, constant encouraging, bringing up scripture to each other. I was just reminding you the other day, of the truth and the word of like, hey, that's what we need to dwell on.
Yep.
Because in the midst of all these hard things, lies pop in and we start to hear them. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they come out of our mouths too, like how we feel. And we want that. We feel like that's the reality. And we need someone in our corner to be like, no, actually, this is what the Bible says. This is what's actually true. So let's dwell on those things.
Yeah. When you said someone in our corner, I got the picture of Moses holding up his staff and Erin holding up his arm. And it's you have to have people around you to support you in that way.
Yeah.
Definitely your closest,
your spouse,
like immediate family, your spouse and your immediate family. But also even just like your church family and your friends and people in your life that care about you. Like we were so blessed with a meal train and people constantly asking, hey, what do you need? What can I drop off? You know, and it's just.
The meal train thing was awesome. Yeah, by the way, I just want to take a minute. The other day I was literally thinking about this because you asked someone if we could set up a meal train for them. Mm-hmm. And I thought to myself, whoever invented the meal train was a genius. Yeah. This is such a cool thing.
It was awesome.
It was so good because I don't think we had to cook anything for
weeks. Maybe 2 months. I mean,
it was so awesome.
I'm not kidding you. It felt it went forever.
People brought some good food. We ate really good.
It inspired me.
We ate really good. So that was really good. And another thing is for mothers, something that you got to also just internally, this is not easy to do, is have grace for yourself because there were so many times that you're like, I can't get to all of the other things because we have,
I think it's because there's this
five other kids that you have to get to.
There's this thing inside of us that we want to do it all. We want to control. We want to make everything feel pretty and look nice and everybody have, you know, good hearts and attitudes. And we want everything to be the way we idealize it in our minds. Yeah. And when we hit that wall with our capacity, we quickly realize, oh, I actually can't. I can't physically get up right now. I can't do that thing I wanted to do. I can't.
Yeah. Give the attention to the other kids that you want to give.
Yeah. And so
which,
your encouragement
side
there
note,
helped.
Sorry. It's okay. Side note is something to recognize it because we tend to think that we're in charge of every aspect of our children's growth and maturity. Mm-hmm. But we have to realize that some of our inadequacies is a vital part of their growth and maturity.
Because then they get to step up and
So the fact that you going through a season cannot give them all the attention that you want to give them, you can't give the time that you want to give to them, is actually necessary for them. They need to recognize that there's going to be times that they have to not get what they want, not get from you what they need, you need to give that attention to someone else.
Would you say the same is true for a spouse, that they also need to have a heart of acceptance? Because there's times that, you know, you or I wanted something and it's like, well, we've had a very long day. We can't or fill in the blank of
having
why.
Patience with each other and recognizing that we can't get everything we want. And that's life.
Yeah.
Right. And so having grace for yourself and recognizing that, your absence in one place so that you can be present in another is good in the reality. Mm-hmm. And you can't be in every place at once.
Yeah. And my encouragement to the person listening right now that wants that ideal like life situation to be happening and maybe you can't fulfill all the things that you want to, is to remember that you can't do anything apart from Christ. Like He is our strength. He is our source of peace. He is even our source of creativity and the way that we pour into the things that we do. We have to rely on Him. And when we hit that wall in our capacity, let that be a cue to pray and to remind ourselves of what is our source and where do we get the things that we need to be able to do the things that we do. And that goes for anybody, not just in a season of postpartum, but throughout our life existence.
I actually just encouraged you with this the other day because you were feeling like, I feel like I can't do everything. I feel like I can't get to everything. I feel like this is too hard. And and I got to encourage you. And I said, you know, there's some of the smartest, wealthiest, most powerful men in the world, people in the world that have accomplished amazing things, failed in some area in their marriages and in their families. Mm-hmm. And I was explaining, I was like, what we're doing is the most difficult thing in the world to do.
Yeah.
To have a family, to raise a family, and to some extent do it well.
Yeah.
It is the most difficult thing. It's more difficult than starting a business. It's more difficult than keeping a multi-million-dollar company and having lots of employees and accomplishing all these amazing things. Keeping a family is the most difficult thing. And so I was encouraging, I was like, so it's okay that you feel this way.
Yeah.
This is a very hard thing we're doing, but it's the most valuable thing we can do. At the end of the day, people are the only thing that are going to heaven.
Yeah.
Or not. There's nothing else. Nothing else that we produce in life goes with us. So I was just encouraging you and I want to encourage everyone else that it's okay that this feels difficult because it absolutely is.
Yeah.
But it's a good difficult. It's a good thing to fight for and to keep working toward and to, like you said, recognize you can't do it on your own.
Yeah.
You need Jesus.
Totally. So, okay. So some practicals, for helping each other when your capacity is low that I was just thinking of when you were talking is communication. Because when I held back and I was just wrestling, that's when there was tension in our marriage. That's when there was tension in our home, because I was just feeling it and not actually verbalizing, hey, could someone, you know, do this? Or Aaron, could you step up in this area? And so the times that I was able to communicate to you, you were able to respond with yes, no, maybe, or whatever the response was. It was, you were capable of doing that. And that was super helpful. When you're in a certain season, like I'm thinking about a friend right now who's about to go into surgery and just what his spouse is going to need in order to help him. And so this could go for any type of season where, you know, one or both of you guys are down and resting, is taking up the extra load and doing it with joy.
Of laundry.
With everything.
That was a big one.
With everything.
We have a lot of laundry.
We have a lot of people in our family. So yes, laundry was a big one. Dishes was a big one. Making sure after the meal train ended, like that meals were being prepped and going. And so there's just, when you're running a home, like you said, it's hard but good. There's just a lot of parts moving that need to make it happen. And so when a spouse is down, you got to be communicating, but also willfully helping.
You know, it'd be a huge one for our friends. Go grocery shopping for them.
Yeah. No, totally.
Not you, but like, let's go grocery shopping. Because I was just realizing that's something that happened actually quite a few times in the midst of this postpartum season. We would go in there and be like, when's the last time we've been to this grocery store? Our refrigerator is totally empty. Yeah. Not that it's just on Jennifer. Like, we just weren't doing it. We were forgetting.
Yeah.
And so we'd have to go and like load up. And so we should go grocery shopping.
That's a good idea. I'll note that.
We're looking for people who have been blessed by this free podcast and our free daily marriage prayer emails and who want to help be a blessing to others. Creating and hosting this podcast and sending out our daily emails do incur a financial cost. And we want to invite you to join our faithful patron team to help financially support these resources so that they can remain free for all who need them. Please join our patron team today and become one of the faithful financial supporters who desires to help bless thousands of marriages around the world. Your support will help us pay for the creation, hosting, and promotion of our podcast and daily emails. Thank you, and we hope to see you become a Marriage After God patron.
And so I just want to encourage you, Aaron, that you really stepped up when we had Emran to be a help to me, and I really appreciate that.
Like, thank you.
That was awesome.
I appreciate that too.
Okay. We can move on from capacity.
Yeah, so we've been, so this episode's, when you're viewing this, next week will be our 18-year anniversary,
which blows my mind. Our marriage is an adult now, which I think is funny because a couple of years back, I remember it turning 16. And I'm like, oh, our marriage can drive now.
Now we're an adult. We've made it to adulthood and marriage. So that's pretty exciting. So we're celebrating that next week. You just celebrated your birthday yesterday.
How old are
you
now? I'm 39.
I almost said 29.
That's weird to say. 39. I feel 29.
Almost over the hill with me. You got to like...
I'm going to chase you down the hill.
Yeah, you got to join me down the hill.
Or roll down the hill too.
Yeah. But we're super excited about that. It's so weird to think 18 years has already gone by. Mm-hmm. And it's also weird to think if we would have had kids right away, we'd have an adult right now.
Yeah.
That blows my mind. But we're only a few years away from that.
I know. I've been thinking about that a lot lately.
Like Elliot just turned 12. Man, oh man. Like we talked about a handful of episodes ago, that this next 10 years is going to be a roller coaster. Mm-hmm. Roller coaster.
Speaking of roller coasters, let's get into the meat of the message today.
Yeah, in light of it being a new year, and everyone always does this. We're like, okay, we tend to look forward. Mm. We tend to look forward, like, okay, what's next? What are we going to do this next year?
I'm definitely that person.
And we do this. We're not going to not do that. We kind of already been talking about it. And I hate making resolutions. We've talked about this in the past. Instead, I just rather like,
you're the type of person that's like, what am I going to change today to make my life better? Make my life better. I'm
resolutions,
more of like, what can I start on Monday?
Yeah.
Or I miss January 1st. Okay. Let's wait till next year.
Let's go to the next year.
For me. Okay.
So about something that we were just thinking about is sometimes it's good to take a look back and be like, okay, what were some expectations we had and what were some disappointments we had and how can we look at those and shape those and use those to point us into the new year. And, you know, I don't know.
I would say the easy answer is not to go into the next year without expectation.
That's true.
Wouldn't that help?
Lower our expectations. You know, what is that? Under promise and over deliver. That's what we should do.
It's funny because we wrote The Unveiled Wife years ago, like the beginning of our marriage.
You mostly wrote that one.
Like we wrote that in the fifth year of our marriage. Okay.
Yeah.
Back in 2012. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I remember talking about expectations in that book. And I remember getting to the end of it and kind of wrapping up like what God was teaching me and all this stuff. And since then, every time I hit a hard spot with expectation and disappointment and like setting you up for failure, because I do that in marriage, I have these expectations of Aaron and then something doesn't happen.
They're never voiced, by the way.
Yeah, okay. That's where I feel.
They're all up here. She has a conversation with me in her head and then she...
But I think about how I feel, like, I don't know if you guys do this, but I think like, I thought I already conquered this one. Like, why is this back in my life? Why am I still struggling? And so I just wanted to say, like, if you are in that place where you've, you know, experienced something hard and you think that you overcame it, or you think that you're better now, you're right back there again. It's okay, because it's part of the growing process. Like, we're growing and we're learning and we are going to mess up and we're going to do things like set high expectations for our spouse and then get disappointed. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
That's not all we're talking about today, but I just want to encourage people. We're still growing.
We looked at the whole year, 2024, and back in 2023, we had some really high, like exciting, high expectations. We're like, okay, we were like getting motivated. We had some plans and ideas and things that we wanted to move forward with. And then December comes around, my dad gets sick, my brother dies. Derailed our whole year, it felt like.
I was going to say it went well into spring, but really it went well into summer just with keeping up with your family and emotional stuff. And
but us being gone for so long, and, you know, we have our home church, and like that put our home church in a different place. And there was just all year.
Well, because it wasn't just our family. It felt like everybody was going through.
Everyone was going through stuff. Yeah. And so it felt like 2024 was like, you know.
Whiplash?
Yeah, it felt like a little bit of whiplash. So we just wanted to talk about that. We want to talk about how we can have one idea of something and experience a whole different thing and still come out on the other side and be like, okay, Lord, thank you.
Like I was talking about with the C-section, I actually got a midwife and I was really excited to do a home birth.
Oh, we were all ready.
Our last was a home birth, and that was the first home birth that we had had. And this, and Olive got to be a part of that. So this time I was like, Olive's going to be there and Edith's going to be there and it's going to be great. And then I had to have a C-section. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, I am grateful. And I look back and I go, oh man. But I'll be honest, those first 2 weeks of after having the C-section, I was disappointed. I had some wrestling to do because it didn't turn out the way that I wanted.
I think periodically you still do. You look back and you're like, I wished that didn't have to happen. And like, because it's something you had no control over.
Yeah.
We had one expectation.
Yeah.
We were so excited for it. And that's what's crazy is because we went the route with the home birth, we still had to pay a portion of that. And then we had to pay. Right. It's not wrong. It's just our plan didn't play out the way we had.
Financially, we ended up
in
a much different spot.
In the hospital with the C-section and the doctors, you know, we were expecting to pay this, you know, little amount. And now we have this huge bill.
No, it wasn't a little amount. They told us up front what it would be.
I'm saying that with the home birth was going to be significantly cheaper than the hospital. But I'll say this, and I just want to make a little plug here. If you've been listening to the podcast, we've been being sponsored by Samaritan Ministries. That's not why we're with them. We want them as a sponsor because we loved using them. They've been huge for us, by the way. Samaritan Ministries is our health share program. It's not health insurance. It's different. It's where Christians help other Christians pay their medical bills. And
can I just share my favorite part, which I didn't know was a thing until
recently?
Well, because
how did you not know that? I thought you knew this.
I don't know, because Aaron takes care of all of that stuff, especially when I'm like having a baby, right? So Aaron's been into the finances actually for
forever.
Yeah. So
it's okay.
It's easier for me. But as the way that Samaritan works is, people support your need. And so we were getting these pieces of mail that had
a check in it
that would reimburse, you know, to cover costs, but it came with a note.
Yep.
And every single one that he opened, I was reading handwritten notes from people or typed out that were encouraging us, congratulating us, saying that they're praying for us.
Yep.
I was amazed. I was like, Aaron, do we do this? And he goes, yes. And I was like, oh, I didn't realize.
Yeah. And that's,
you had been taking on that for us on behalf of us. And I just thought, how beautiful that. I never thought I would appreciate that type of, it's not insurance, like you said, but it's like,
no, it's better than, I think it's better than insurance.
That should be their tagline.
Christians helping Christians pay their medical bills. Yeah. So every month we help pay someone, some other Christian's medical bill. We actually send, I send money directly to them. Mm-hmm. We do. Mm-hmm. And I also send a prayer with it.
Whatever
the medical need is.
I just remembered we were driving in the car somewhere and we had everyone in the car, all the kids. And mm-hmm. You had a phone call from them because you had a question on the hospital billing me, but also billing Emron separate.
Yep.
And you were kind of clarifying with them. And then right at the end of the conversation, the guy goes, "So can I pray for you guys?" And you're on speakerphone. All the kids tuned, like, got really quiet, and they were amazed that they prayed for us.
He prayed for us right
and
there.
And it was a long prayer. I'm just appreciative. I think that kind of stuff is so cool.
I just wanted to do that side note because we've been with them for years.
Yeah.
And it's been, so even though we had this unexpected large bill,
yeah,
very large, much larger than we were expecting, it's being taken care of by other believers. So praise God for that.
Yeah. Also, you don't have to keep saying side note because really this whole episode is a bunch of side notes.
It's true, actually.
We've been building up for 3 months, side notes.
These are the expectation things. So again, last year, another expectation, you know, over the years, we've tried to be financially wise.
Yeah.
We try and make sure that we stay as much out of debt as possible. We try and make sure that we take care of our home, and we're trying to invest in the future, not just so we can have a bunch of money, but so that we can prepare for our children,
for our kids to have a bunch of money.
No, we're trying to build something to hand to our children one day. And so in 2024, we were like, okay, for our first time, we tried in doing an investment in a flip house. Mm-hmm.
This was actually at the end of 23, right before your
dad got sick. Yeah, it was right before my dad got sick, and we had started it, and we were getting into this, and it was our first time ever experiencing this. And it had on paper looked amazing, but I can't get into all the details about it, but I'll just say this. It's not turning out the way we were expecting. Mm-hmm. Still not going to be the worst thing ever. We're not in a bad place, but it just makes us look at, like, in the beginning, we're like, oh, we have this opportunity and it looks so amazing. It's going to be so perfect. And I'm sure that some of you guys listening have been into investing before or been doing it for a long time. We're like, well, it's never what you think it's going to be. It's always going to be harder than it sounds. Yeah. And we're learning that on the back end of this.
What would you say to a couple right now listening where they're in the midst of that, where they've invested no matter what amount, and there's, I don't want to say hard feelings, but there's like some emotions going on because it's not turning out the way that they want. How do they come alongside each other and help get through it versus, you know, other ways of
first thing
that kind of disappointment?
Is, I think, a part of investing is the learning. Because mm-hmm. that's it. It's all risk management.
So it's kind of like giving grace to each other for when decisions are made that, hey, we knew that this was a risk and it's going to be okay.
Yeah,
but just verbalizing that.
Well, and even if maybe they didn't, because I'm sure some people don't even think, like, there's no risk involved at all. Mm-hmm. You know,
there's always risk.
There's always risk. That's what investing is. Recognizing, okay, what can we learn from this? Mm-hmm. And then secondly, this probably should be the first thing is we got to trust the Lord for everything.
Oh, for sure.
Like we're not chasing wealth. We're not chasing these ideals. We're trying to be wise. Mm-hmm. We're trying to make choices that will benefit our home and our family and our church and our futures to the best of our ability. And we got to trust God. Mm-hmm. And so along this journey has been, okay, I don't know how this is going to turn out. We did our best. And there's been times with you that you're like, what are we doing? I'm like, well, at this point, I don't know. I'm just waiting. And we gotta be patient. We gotta trust the Lord. And lots of prayer.
Lots of prayer.
Yeah.
Prayer. And also, I encourage you to take notes. Like, write down, do I like how this type of investment is going? Like, how do you feel? Because you could feel one way in the midst of it, but then when it turns out and everything's good, maybe you think differently. So it's good to remind yourself along the way, what was the cost emotionally, mentally, with your relationship, with your spouse?
Yeah, and were those
all
worth
those
it?
Things? Yeah, was it worth it?
Because maybe they are.
Yeah.
To some people. we're actually evaluating, like, how we want to, if we're going to invest again and how we're going to invest in the future based off of this current situation. And at the end of the day, it's we got to open our hands up. Yeah. Be like, okay, Lord, what are we doing? What are you doing? How do you want us to, what do you want to guess? What do you want us to get out of this? Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, that was one thing.
I have a note here. It's superficial, but because I'm like the mom
like
who
traditions.
Plans everything. I like tradition. I like having fun. Our trip to Hood River was supposed to be the same weekend that we were having Emron. And Hood River is just this really beautiful, I want to say like country hillside orchard, like where all the apple picking and berries happen. So every fall we take the family down there. We've been doing it for years and I was super
bummed. We usually do it with friends.
Yeah.
And said our friends went because they also go every year and we were home.
It's okay though. Yeah. The real kicker was we decided to go apple picking still. And we were like, even if there's no apples on the tree, it's going to be okay. Emryn was probably about a month old. So this was late October. And because we chose that, we ended up not going to a pumpkin patch at all, which is you got to give yourself grace. You can only do so much after you have a baby, which I keep telling myself. But I'm like, man, these traditions, these things that we normally do didn't happen. And I know that things like that, an annual trip or whatever, can be, you know, taken away for a lot of different reasons. Someone gets sick or, you know, whatever. But we just have to deal with it. And how, like, what do we... Is it just something you just kind of bag up and put aside and go, oh.
Again, like we were talking before, there's a lot of dying to self. Like we have these ideals for our lives, these expectations for our lives. And I just think of that scripture that says, if you want to save your life, you got to lose it.
Yeah.
And if you try to save your life, you're going to lose it. Like we want to control everything. We want to shape our own lives. And at the end of the day, like there's so little that we actually have control over.
But you know what we are shaping? Our kids' lives and our kids' perspective and our kids' way of responding to things. And I think this would be a good little
note to make.
A little opportunity to talk about how parents, in their disappointment or in their emotional response to a situation not coming out the way that you want it to remember the kids.
That's
a good point. That we are shaping them. And so I remember specifically one of my kids asking, aren't we going to go to the pumpkin patch? And I felt crushed, but I had to encourage them and remind them it's okay that we chose apple picking instead. And so, this is just, what did I say? Oh, an opportunity to share with you guys that when we're wrestling, we can still encourage the kids and share the truth with the kids so that when they're older and they're adults, they will have everything that they need to be able to respond to disappointment in a positive way. I'm sure it won't be perfect because they're made of flesh as well.
Yeah.
But just to remember that we're shaping them, we're helping them, we're building up a foundation in them on how they're going to respond to things happening or not happening.
That's, again, one of the hardest things we're going to do is we're building a family and teaching our kids how to deal with these things.
Yeah.
Unmet expectations, which I feel like children deal with a lot because their world is so small and very close to themselves, especially when you have more than one child, they're going to bump against each other a lot. And so we're realizing that and they have an expectation of how something should go. And then, but their brother or sister has also an expectation and they're opposite of each other.
Yeah.
So we're teaching them something for myself that I look back on, and for years, I feel like I was really diligent with daily Bible time with the family. And this last year, I feel like I dropped the ball pretty hard on that.
I wouldn't say drop the ball. I would say that it was intermittent.
Yeah. Very, very intermittent.
Yeah.
Not as consistent as it would have been nice to have been, you know, but that's something I get to look back on and be like, okay, that's something I would love to do better this year. I would love to be more consistent with family Bible time, getting back into the Word, getting more consistent with it. Something that you actually stepped up with when I was not being as consistent, you were filling in a lot of those gaps, and I'm really thankful for that. And it's something that we can move forward doing because I actually enjoyed you doing it, and we can take turns doing it. That might make it be way more consistent this year. But an encouragement for you husbands out there, if you haven't started doing a family Bible time with your children and your wife, or if you have been intermittent, I just want to encourage you that it's okay to start now. Mm-hmm. Like you don't have to wait for a specific time or
pick up where you left off.
Yeah. Just pick up where you left off and, you know, dust off your pants from
off
whatever. Yeah. Off the Bible. Hopefully not the Bible, but it happens. And just get back into it. So that's something that I look back on and I realize I had one expectation and turned out quite a bit different, but
I will say that with the, it's always weird how the homeschool year starts differently than the new year starts.
Than the actual year, yeah. I actually never understood that either, but kind of get it.
So in the new school year, I actually started early. I started at the beginning of August knowing that we were going to have Emryn and just wanting that time to not feel behind or anything like that. And when I was building the curriculum out, I found Answers in Genesis has a Bible curriculum. And there's actually like four different sets because it goes through like creation to Joseph and then from there on throughout the Bible. And I found a family devotional book that kind of goes along with it. It's not perfect, but goes along with it.
It's been really cool, though.
It's been really cool. And so we started that with the new school year. And so, Aaron, you'll read chapter or two out of the family devotional. And then later on that week, I'll read out of the teacher's manual for the
curriculum. And they pretty closely coincide. So yeah. Devotional, you know, seems very top level, mm-hmm. like high level. And then during the week,
it gets
like deeper and deeper and deeper into those same concepts.
Questions and things like that. So if you are looking for something to guide your family Bible time, I would say this is a really great option. And it did help us to become more consistent, which I appreciated. So.
And I really enjoyed it too. Mm-hmm. It's really, really awesome. So where do you want to go from here?
Up, babe.
Yeah, I don't know if anyone else feels the way we feel, but felt like it last year. Like you mentioned at the beginning of this, was a roller coaster. Mm-hmm. Lots of ups and downs. Lots of good things. I feel like even though there was a lot of, we talked about this, there was a lot of unmet expectations, like missed expectations. Mm-hmm. I feel like a lot still happened. Mm-hmm. A lot of accomplishments, a lot of rejoicing. I mean, new babies.
I know.
Lots of new babies in our church. That's been amazing. Seeing our kids really step up, seeing us deal with some hardships in really good ways. Mm-hmm. It's been good. It's been a good,
something that
good hard year.
Yeah. Something that I'll share is that a handful of times throughout the year, I can hear your voice still say it, and you say it the same way every time. When I'm wrestling or when I'm faced with something, you know, unmet expectations or something that I'm like, can't seem to get over, you say, what can you be grateful for? And it's such a subtle reminder to have gratitude and to, because it's so easy for us to look at the thing glaring right in front of us saying, oh, that's not how it should be, you know, and getting frustrated over that or, you know, spinning your wheels over what can I do to fix that thing? But to your point, it's, well, what around that thing can you be grateful for? And I appreciated that because it stops me in my tracks and it makes me go, oh, yeah, life is good.
Yeah. So a good thing for us to do as the new year begins mm-hmm. is to look back on all the things that we're really grateful for. You know, what, because like we were just talking about expectations, but in reality, the way we were looking back at it was not look how much we failed, but it was looking back at how different the year was than what we expected, but also how good it was and figuring out what we can be grateful for. What, mm-hmm. and not what can we be grateful for? Like we have to dig for it. In reality, I told this to the kids the other day, if we were to try and say everything we were thankful for, we wouldn't have enough time to do it because we have way more than we ever deserve. I'm not just saying Jennifer and I, like us as believers in Christ Jesus, what he offered to us is we can never earn it.
Yeah.
It's impossible. And yet he's freely given it to us. And so that salvation we have is not just the icing on the cake. It is the cake and the icing and everything. And when we look at our whole life through the lens of salvation, it changes our perspective on all the unmet expectations. So.
Amen. Yeah. So, you know, you said a few things like, even though it was hard, it was good this last year. And maybe it was because of all the things you helped me understand that we are grateful for and asking me that prompting question that when I look back at the year, I go, oh man, we did go through a lot, but it was good. It was a good year. And I felt productive in my family and in my homeschool journey and all of that. But I was in a different place than you. And I think that that can happen in marriage where one spouse can be experiencing something more difficult, even though they're experiencing the same life, the same family life, the same culture, you know, and it's like, I think we should speak to that for a little bit. And so at the beginning of the year, you mentioned your dad got sick, your brother passed away, you turned 40, and there was just a lot of heaviness around who is Aaron and what is Aaron going through? And so I didn't carry all of that, but I got to walk with you in it. And so I think that it would be good for just, you know, little bit of time to share where you were at, maybe emotionally, mentally, and how.
I wasn't prepared for this.
I know. What got you through it? And be an encouragement as you shared to the other men who are listening who might be going through something similar.
Well,
women.
not only did I turned 40 this last year, mm-hmm. and I never understood the idea of, you know, why someone might go through a midlife crisis. Mm-hmm. And I don't even like to call it that because that has connotations that I don't feel like match up with mm-hmm. what I was going through. But in reality, I was challenged really in a major way in my identity this year. And it probably was supercharged by the loss of my brother, my dad getting sick,
financial weight. You're pastoring our church. And I would say that had a heaviness to it.
Yeah. And you know, how well I'm pastoring my church or not well, I should say, many times feeling like a failure in a lot of things, mm-hmm. Feeling like a failure as a father, feeling like a failure as a husband, as a pastor, as a son, all these things. And almost like the Holy Spirit was like, okay, like what you were before was fine for then, but it's not going to be good for what's coming. Mm-hmm. Or not enough, I should say. And so I feel like this whole last year, and I don't feel like I'm fully out of it, to be honest. I feel like I'm in a better place for sure, but I feel like this year was a lot of introspective consideration, a lot of really having to go to God and be like, what am I doing? Who am I? Why am I doing this?
Moments of unknown. Like,
yeah.
What's next? What am I supposed to do?
A lot of feeling of wanting to quit a lot, and having to fight those feelings and having to go to God in prayer with those feelings of like, I want to quit. Should I quit? Is this the right thing? Quit on a lot of things. But being challenged, being encouraged by you, really not even knowing how to fully talk about how I feel and what's going on in my heart and my head.
Putting words to it.
It's hard to put words to it. I'm sure I'm not the only one. I think a lot of men and women go through this, and there's a lot of things riding on who I am in my character. And like we talked about my children, like becoming adults mm-hmm. and launching them into this world and not dropping the ball on that. And
I just remembered a conversation I had with my 6-year-old son just recently, and I was affirming him. I've been trying to affirm who the kids are mm-hmm. lately and just what I see in them and our whole family really. But with him specifically, I said, "Hey, Truett, I just want to encourage you." I said, "I've been seeing a lot of initiative lately, and you've been growing and maturing and, you know, being thoughtful."
Yes,
and I just was really trying to build him up. And I said, I just want you to keep moving forward in that direction. And I just wanted to remind you that these things are good. And I said, "It's who you are." And he looks at me and he goes, "It's who I'm going to be." And I said, "Well, it's who you are." And he goes, "Well,"
and who he's going to be.
He goes, "It's who I am and who I'm going to be." And I just thought it was a really beautiful moment.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to share that.
And that's kind of how I feel. Like, I feel like God is trying to, he's working in me to a new level of maturity mm-hmm. and faithfulness. And so my flesh is really fighting growing up. And that sounds like I'm not growing up at all, but like, this new phase. Like, we all go through different seasons of life, and you know, from 10 to 20 and from 20 to 30 and then from 30 to 40, like very unique things are happening in those time frames. Like I said, this next 10 years from 40 to 50 now, mm-hmm. I have kids that are, most of them will become adults, be getting married, having children, be trying to get homes of their own, trying to start careers of their own. I'm like, I'm just realizing I'm currently where I'm at, not adequate enough to accomplish that. And so,
but Christ in you
exactly
is.
Yeah. And, but on top of that, what does God want for me and our church? And what does God want for me and my marriage? And what does God want for me and my parents, you know, that are getting older? And so there's a lot of things, let alone all of my individual personal relationships with friends. And so I don't know, you guys can be praying for me for that. Cause it's not like I've answered all those questions, but
I appreciate you sharing that. Yeah. And I'm sorry I put you on the spot. I just felt it'll add clarity to some of the phrases that you shared about this last year being hard and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Give them insight. And just to encourage the couples out there that you know, from my perspective, there were times that you didn't share anything with me, but I could tell that you were struggling and bearing the weight of things that I prayed for you about, and I tried to encourage you. But sometimes things are unspoken, and you can still walk hand in hand and be alongside them to support them. And so I just want to encourage you guys who might be going through some hardship. There might be moments that are left unspoken, and there might be moments that there are words to how things are being felt. And no matter what, just being there for each other and reminding each other that you're not going anywhere, reminding each other that you're on the same team, reminding each other what scripture says of what's true and what's important, and prayer. So one more thing that I want to share about in light of expectation and disappointment and just wrestling in general. You had mentioned one of the things being church, and you know, everybody who is a believer has an experience with church, some closer than others. We have been walking through different kinds of seasons over the last handful of years with our fellowship. We have, we told you guys this before, but we have a home church, and it's a very intimate thing because we you know, sit together every Sunday, looking at each other, participating. Everybody kind of has a hand in speaking up and
living life with each other.
Living life with each other, especially during the week. And no matter what hard things have come up in the past, even in just this last year, we have some changes that we're going into in this next year. And so I've been putting together a special video just to highlight the experience that we've had with this specific fellowship. And it makes me tearful thinking about it. There have been so many events and moments that have been caught, captured, and I'm putting together this slideshow thinking about what we've experienced, what our kids have experienced, what together as a body we've experienced. And it's such a cool thing to be able to look back over and see the highlights.
Yeah. Well, it's a really special thing that we even have the ability to have all of these memories recorded. Because when you show me the slide that there's so what you have so far, I was like, those were good times. Those were good times.
They were good times. But the thing is even up till the end, you guys were still, we're still making good times. Yeah. Like our Christmas party was good time.
More good times.
And there's going to be more good times ahead. And so I just wanted to bring that up because I think it's important to remember when you are going through hard things, conflict, relational things, whatever it is, that there are good times and that God has blessed us and brought us together as a body. And there's times that our body hurts. There's times that our body has something that they need to take care of, and it doesn't diminish or devalue those good times. And so I'm really grateful for the people who have walked alongside us for the last 6 years and have been there. And I say all that to encourage you in your own church family and how you guys fellowship with them, and just to encourage you to take that that time during the week to invite them over for dinner, to make that event for a holiday part of your gathering, and just find ways to host and have fun and build fun, cherishing memories with your kids and their kids. And just remember that we're all part of the same body, because those highlights matter.
And that, in closing, makes me think of, as we go into this new year, there's a scripture I've been dwelling on lately, and it essentially says, and it's talking about the end times. It's talking about, like, as we get closer to the days of the Lord returning, that the hearts of many will grow cold, and that their love will grow cold. And I just want to encourage us as believers to not allow our hearts to grow cold, not allow our love to harden off. And sometimes the grief and the hardship and the suffering and the issues of life can make us want to close off. I just want, like I said, that giving up feeling of like, I just want to like quit loving. This is too hard. Loving and open, keeping my heart open and keeping my expectations open.
What would you say is the key to that? Because I think you can say, I don't want to close my heart off, or I want to love others. Or you can even say, no, I do love others. But what's the proof? What's the thing that's going to keep them from hardening?
Well, we need to run to the Lord with those things, and we need His help to keep our hearts soft. Lord, help me not harden my heart. Keep my heart soft. Fill me with Your love. There's a song, I can't remember what it is, but it says, help me love others that you, I'm messing up, but there's a song I'm thinking about going to those in his love, mm-hmm. going to those outside of us, near us in his love.
That's a, even though you didn't remember the lyrics, that's a great point. It's pursuit. Yeah. It's to pursue each other, pursue relationship, even when it's hard, because action is what keeps your heart from hardening. And you got to take that next step. You got to make that phone call. You got to choose the hard thing, choose the good thing, the,
yeah, there's another scripture.
What, when I say thing, it's the thing, it's what brings you guys together.
Yeah.
That's what I'm trying to say.
Be
to love.
Be unified.
Yeah.
Continue to move, like fight to go closer together.
Yeah.
That there's another scripture says, don't grow weary in doing good.
Yeah.
For in due season, you will reap a harvest mm-hmm. of righteousness. And so continuing to push into that and not allow our love to grow cold.
Yeah.
The world, that's what their hearts are doing. But we have Jesus, mm-hmm. so we can go to him in prayer and ask him to keep our hearts soft mm-hmm. and warm mm-hmm. and pliable. So speaking of prayer, why don't we pray for them for their new year?
Okay.
You go ahead. Me? I can pray. Okay. Lord, we love you so much. We thank you that regardless of all of the heartache and hurt and pain and suffering and things that happen in 2024, God, it was full of your goodness still, and you were with us, and we thank you for that. And I just pray that everyone listening would recognize that they would look back on their last year with gratitude, even in the midst of the hard things, Lord, and that they would have gratitude for you and their salvation in you. And Lord, I just pray that looking forward, we would pursue you more than ever, that we would get into your word more than ever, God, that we would trust you more than ever, and most importantly, that we would rejoice in our salvation in your son, Jesus, more than ever. I pray that this year, the year 2025, would be a year of growth in our relationship with you and maturity, more prayer, more of your word, and that, God, you would make us more bold with the gospel. And we thank you for all of our listeners. I just pray that their year would be filled with your blessings and filled with pursuit of you. And we love you and we thank you for all of them. In Jesus' name, amen. Do you desire to pray more for your spouse? Do you desire to pray more with your spouse? We understand that you may not know where to start, or maybe you feel uncomfortable praying, or maybe you don't know what to pray, or maybe you simply want to add something more to your current prayer life. This is why we wrote The Marriage Gift, 365 Prayers for Our Marriage. We desire that it would be used as a daily reminder and catalyst for you and your spouse to grow a dynamic and consistent prayer life together. This book is a compilation of 365 unique and powerful prayers that cover a range of diverse topics that every marriage deals with. You can read it alone, or ideally, you read it with your spouse. Also, we hope that the topics that are brought up in these prayers would become a starting point for deeper and more intimate conversations with your spouse and a desire to seek God on these matters together. Visit themarriagegift.com today and order your copy and give your marriage the greatest gift, powerful and meaningful prayer. Visit themarriagegift.com today.